So the granting of three generation licenses to Kapowership by the energy regulator NERSA has been met with strong opposition from civil society. Kapowership has also faced some numerous challenges since government in March granted it the biggest share of the 2,000 megawatt emergency power tender to provide the cheapest and quickest option for electricity. What's also been concerning environmental organizations is the fact that these licenses were issued despite the company not having the environmental approval from government. Let's speak to Nhlanhla Gumede now, who is the regulator member responsible for electricity regulation at NERSA. Mr. Gumede, thank you so much for making time. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Clement, and thank you.
When you approved the generation licenses for Kapowership, you didn't give reasons for your decisions. What are they? What did you base that decision on?
Well, actually, when we make any decisions, the decisions of the energy regulator have got to be published, and they are going to be published. Unfortunately, they are just after the meeting, they actually had to go for language editing, but they will definitely be published. And those reasons are basically covered. They are in response of the criteria that NERSA has to adopt, the criteria that NERSA uses in terms of evaluating licenses, and which are clearly articulated under Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act.
But the company's application for environmental authorization was rejected. So how do you grant Kapowership licenses when it doesn't have the environmental approval from government?
Well, let's put it this way. In terms of our regulatory system in South Africa, we have a number of regulators which have got specific mandates. For instance, the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment has got its own mandate, and it's got their laws that they are implementing. So do other departments, for instance, transport and other things. Ours is very specific. We have a particular mandate in terms of granting operating licenses for anybody that wants to operate an electricity generating facility. We can only act within that mandate, and environmental considerations are actually outside of our mandate.
Yeah, but the criteria that you're mentioning there is part of Section 10. The companies have to show their plans, they have to show their abilities as well. In this case, the plan is not fully compliant because the company doesn't have all the important environmental approval from government. So isn't that part of your considerations that you need to make as NERSA before granting the license for a project like this one?
No, unfortunately, that is not correct. All that applicants need to do when they are applying for any of the NERSA licenses, electricity licenses being one of them, is that they need to show those plans from other for compliance with other laws, including health and safety. But the plan does not mean that they actually have got or already have those health and safety details. It means this: they show the ability that they can do this. This is the plan that they have. And that's it. Unfortunately, if NERSA tried to actually act as an environmental regulator, that would be a regulator overreach. All we can do is, based on the paper that's presented to us, we then say, well, in terms of Section 10(2)(e) of the Act, you've indicated what the plans are. Whether those plans would actually be realized or not, that's for those other regulators that actually need to actually make those decisions.
But
we can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gumede, what would then be, why then offer the licenses when you don't even know if the companies are going to get their environmental approvals? Maybe let me ask it this way. I was browsing through your website in preparation for this interview, and I came across the regulatory processes and the technical compliance issues related to electricity generation registration and licenses. And on your website, you mentioned that Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act, which sets out those parameters of what should be provided when a license application is made and is being considered. And I want to go through some of these, and you will tell me if Kapowership complied, because this is part of your requirements as per Section 10, as you've stated on your website. The technical information of the recent project, did Kapowership provide you with that?
Yes, remember though, can I explain something? Although that section applies to all applications, there are two parts. There are those that are procured by the IPP office, which means some of the information that NERSA would have ordinarily looked at if someone was applying directly without having gone through the IPP public tender. And then there are those that go through those public tenders. So some information is asked for by somebody else and just needs to be presented to NERSA. And in some cases, if it's somebody that is applying directly and did not go through the IPP office, NERSA then requests that information on its own. But to answer you, yes, in terms of all the aspects that are defined, that are required by NERSA to make its decision, all of the seven IPPs, yeah, actually presented those.
Yeah, and that's why I want us to go through some of them so the listeners can know what I've picked up on the website and you can clarify if they have those, because this is based on that Section 10 you mentioned. So in terms of the technical information of the project, you are satisfied as NERSA that you got the documentation from Car Powership?
Correct.
And then a signed power purchase agreement showing the agreed tariff should also be part of the financial agreements. Did Eskom agree to the power purchase agreement?
Well, all we did was we noted those. Again, in terms of analysis done by the colleagues, the indication was that they indicated the things that were actually attached and things that were supposed to be subsequently attached. As far as in terms of the applications that we dealt with, those issues and those issues were covered in detail in all of the RFDs. Some of them, remembering, can I explain something? If you read the Act and read some of those guidelines, the reason why NERSA has been in the past accused of taking too long, and also that's why there's been this process to actually move most people from licensing to registration, is because of our regulatory efficiency. We are correcting that. All that we can do, in terms of the questions you must ask, if you don't mind, please ask them in terms of what is in the Act, because those are the things that we are obliged to look at.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at, Mr. Gumede. And with all due respect, I really want us to go through these points, because I'm focusing on Section 10, which you mentioned, that Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act. That's what sets out the parameters of what should be provided when a license application is made and is being considered. And you've said that Car Powership has already met the technical information of the project. They've provided that detail. What I'm asking, and I would appreciate whether yes or no, did they produce a document as expected and required as part of Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act? Did they provide a document, a signed power purchase agreement? In other words, did Eskom agree to the power purchase agreement? Because that's part of the documentation Car Powership was supposed to provide to you so that you can make a consideration for the licenses.
Unfortunately, what I'm trying to say to you, that if you look at the Act, there is no mention of power purchase agreement. So I would not necessarily want to respond to anything outside of the Act.
I'm looking at your website right now, Mr. Gumede, and your website has taken me to even the generation licenses and registration frequently asked questions. And one of the frequently asked questions on your website, which I'm looking at right now, deals with Section 10. As part of the requirement before you can consider issuing a license is there must be a signed power purchase agreement. That's what it's saying on your website.
Look, all I'm simply saying, Clement, unfortunately, as you say, those things tend to be generally applicable to everybody. Now, what I'm merely saying is I'm pointing us to the law. And if maybe that in the past we may have overstated our ability and our mandate, that is something that we are trying to correct. The law itself makes no mention of that. So unfortunately, in this particular case, because I'm not sure in terms of the detail, in terms of how far those negotiations are and what might be outstanding in all of these other issues, but all that I can be guided by is the law. The law makes no mention of what we are asking about.
Yeah, which confuses me, because on your website, what you are saying is part of Section 10, and you are listing these requirements. On your website, you're saying Section 10 sets out these parameters, and these are the documents that must be provided so that a license application can be made and can be considered. These are the documents that you have outlined, basing it on Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act, including this one. All right, let's focus on the record of decisions, because as part of the documentation you need to provide when you're applying for a license and before NESA can consider, you need to provide a record of decisions for environmental authorization and permits received. But this company had its application rejected by the environmental department, and yet they were given licenses. How do you explain that part?
That's the point I'm trying to raise, Clement, is that the Act itself, I would not know what in the past, why in the past those things may have been included, but the Act does not provide for that. The Act does not ask for a record of decision.
So what is this doing on your website then, Mr. Gumete? Why have you put these documentations on your website, and why are you stating on your website that these are the documentations that are required when you are applying for a license and when we have to consider? And you're basing this on the law, Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act.
Well, all I can say is we are going through this regulatory efficiency review, and one of those issues is actually making sure that whatever that we are doing does not fall outside of the law. The law is very specific, unfortunately. If maybe we have actually tried to usurp powers that are powers that are given to other departments, that's what we are going to be correcting. Because what we're referring to, for instance, in terms of environmental record of decision, that is not specified in the law.
Well, you specified it on your website. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go check your website and remove those requirements? Because that's what you're basing them on. You're basing them on Section 10 of the law.
Which is what I'm then saying. As part of us correcting these issues, what are called regulatory efficiency, correcting some of the perhaps the past mistakes, even in terms of why NESA is where it is, in terms of the problems that have been complained by the potential applicants, that we take too long and we actually impose other requirements. We are now refining that process, and part of that refining, and thank you for pointing me to the issue that might be on the website which needs to be corrected. We cannot act outside of the law.
Well, then that would mean that your officials acted outside of the law when they based these requirements on the same law that you are relying on right now. What happens if right now, for instance, the environmental affairs doesn't approve the environmental assessment and this appeal by Car Powership? What happens? Because you've already issued the licenses. Because perhaps the simplest thing you could have done is just defer that decision until Car Powership has completed its appeal application.
Well, can I respond to you this way? For all of the people that are business people in South Africa, they will tell you that South Africa has got a number of regulatory hurdles that you need to pass. Unfortunately, there is no order in terms of what you need to do. This one first and then to this one. You find that there's a mirage of it. There's actually a few of them.
Okay.
Now. And do you actually do them in parallel or do them in series? Unfortunately, the laws themselves, because there is no order of priority, you can't say we have to wait for tax clearance first before we do certain things. Unfortunately, people have to pass those hurdles, each one of them. This is one of them. If they fail on this one and they need, then they are obliged to then come back in terms of Section 17 and ask for the license to be revoked.
Yeah, but would it make sense for like an institution to just approve business with someone when they don't have a tax clearance, for instance? Shouldn't that be the key requirement before you can issue a license or even start some form of a relationship with an institution?
Well, unfortunately, if we did that in all of the things in terms of licenses, because unfortunately things like EIAs, which then result in these RODs, they are very expensive processes.
Okay.
So in some cases, some licenses, manufacturing licenses, any business, they would then say, can I at least get this license? Because I need that license to even access funding.
All right.
And it's only once I have funding that I'll then be able to get money to do the EIAs.
All right. Nhlanhla Gumede, we're out of time, but thank you so much for making time. Nhlanhla Gumede is the regulator member responsible for electricity regulation at NESA. I'm confused. I'm literally looking at the NESA website now. The law, Section 10 of the Electricity Regulation Act, sets out the parameters of what should be provided when a license application is made and is being considered. And one of the key things that should be provided is a signed power purchase agreement. Car Powership doesn't have that.